Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Oh, hi everybody.
Hello everyone, buddy.
Everyone, buddy.
Everyone, buddy.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Zombieland 2 Double Tap. The
Double Tap.
The fourth best movie in theaters.
Welcome to Zombieland. Life is about more than just survival. We were a family. Dysfunctional, sure, but what family isn't?
Merry Christmas! What would you like, little girl?
I'd really like for you to stop calling me little girl.
But do you know what I would like?
I don't give a shit what you...
Tom.
Yeah.
How did you like this movie?
I liked it.
Okay.
It felt dated, but still fun and kind of like... Because it was like characters that I liked in the original movie, so a lot of the stuff felt pretty dated. But it was like kind of like, oh, this is nice. It's like putting on like I don't know. It felt like nice to just check in with these characters for a little, even though the movie is not perfect,
right?
And it is pretty dated in some spots. But I still like overall, it's like I still enjoyed it. It was fun.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say I thought this movie was trash. Mm-hmm. I see what you're coming from, because I do like the characters. Mm-hmm. But the comedy was like milquetoast as shit. It felt decades old, like you said,
yeah,
dated.
It's pretty dated.
The comedic characters is a dumb blonde and 70s hippie liberals. Like, it felt like it was made in the 90s by people who had lived in the 70s. I thought the action and gore was like pretty toothless. It was the genre itself is kind of, you know, past its prime.
Yeah, I appreciate that the gore in Zombieland has all, the first one maybe had a little more edge to the gore, but
yeah,
like it's always been more like comedic. Like, I mean, in this one, a man fucking tips the Tower of Pisa onto some zombies for the zombie kill.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, and when the zombie got run over by a thresher and made into a little bale of hay, I thought, like, that's the kind of violence it is.
Yeah,
so I was sort of like, yeah, I mean, it's not... I see what you're saying, though. Like, a lot of the kills are pretty... There's a couple of good ones, but most of them are pretty, like, just, like, we run over a bunch of them with a monster truck.
Yeah, or we just shoot them a lot.
Yeah.
I thought the plot was pretty meandering. Like, the biggest thing that bugged me, though, and I think it's because the comedy didn't work, I didn't laugh once. I was in an audience full of people who brought, like, their kids and shit. Like, teenage...
That's
it was
weird.
Like a family affair for a lot of people. And it was a silent theater almost entirely throughout.
Yeah, there's no, like, laugh-out-loud moments. I'll give it that.
Not really. The characters, I thought, were completely emotionless about everything that would happen for the most part. And like, it just felt meandering, and I found myself rewriting the film as I was going. Because it just, it's also, I mean, like I said at the top of this, it was hard going into the Arclight, and I literally passed by people walking out of Parasite, like laughing and talking and being like, talking about how amazing the movie they watched was. And yeah, I'm like trudging along to Zombieland 2, just
fucking
like
hanging your head in shame,
yeah,
as you walk into Zombieland 2.
Yeah, not The Lighthouse, not Parasite, not Jojo
nope.
Rabbit, not Wounds on Hulu right now. Like, there's so many other films to watch before this one in my head. Like, this felt like work, where I was like, I have to watch this movie before I can get out and go watch the things I want to watch. So it sort of immediately had that going against it, which is more my bias than the movie.
Yeah. So where I am, I can't, like, Parasite and Jojo Rabbit,
right,
and The Lighthouse aren't playing.
Right, which is why we chose Zombieland 2.
Yeah.
Because not just for you, but for America, for everybody listening.
Right, like, we figured this would be, like, the widest release that most people would be able to see this weekend. So, what, like, Parasite is getting huge buzz, but it's still playing in a very small number of theaters.
Yeah.
And I think Jojo Rabbit's only playing in, like, two in Hollywood, so...
Right. Yeah, yeah. They're hard to find, for sure. And this is, I guess if you're going out this weekend to see a movie, I guess see this.
I mean, you could do, I didn't have the same animosity to this film. You could do a lot worse than seeing Zombieland 2. It's the perfect, hey, let's just go see something movie. Because it's like, yeah. Yeah, all right, like, you know.
It just frustrated me because I didn't, like, again, the jokes are, I thought the jokes were just bad. Like, I'm trying to think of something that made me laugh. I think when Woody Harrelson gets hit in the nuts with a hacky sack made me laugh, or yeah. At least chuckle. But
a lot of Woody's lines made me laugh.
Yeah. But like that the character of what's her name who they find in the freezer.
Madison. Zoe Deutsch.
I don't know what was going on there. Like she was the whole joke was she was a dumb blonde and like
pretty much, yeah.
Too dumb, like unrealistically dumb. Like she had something, there was something wrong with her.
Yeah, but I didn't. Like, I sort of rolled my eyes at the idea of the character, but I really enjoyed her performance.
Oh, I would say all the actors do great in this.
Yeah.
There's no lack of talent. I think it's almost purely the writing. Like, can I pitch you what I think this movie should have been?
Please.
Okay. And it's not much different. Spoilers for this movie. We should probably go through the movie, too.
Yeah, okay.
So act one, and this is the same to the movie. They go to it starts at the White House. Oh, first of all, I take the Bill Murray thing and put it at the beginning because that's probably the best part, and they should just open with that as an intro as like 10 years earlier or whatever, however many years.
10.
So they go to the White House. They can do bits there like they did in this. And they should discover. All right. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. The plot of this film is that what's her name, the littlest one, runs away with a hippie, and they go to a commune.
Well, the first it's Little Rock and Wichita who are Abigail
right,
Breslin
they
and
bail.
Emma Stone. They leave, yeah.
Right, and again, this was my issue is that then Woody Harrelson and Eisenberg, it just cuts to a month later and they're just kind of bummed at it, and it's like, haven't you known them for like 10 years? It felt like no one cared when anybody died or went away. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that was a big part of Woody Harrelson's character is that he was pretty much in denial. And then he was like, well, I'm going to strike out on my own. Like he was trying to pretend that having Little Rock run away
right.
since he was kind of her surrogate father.
Right.
Like he was trying to behave like it wasn't bothering him.
Right. But there was just, I don't think there was a lot. There wasn't
not
a lot. Of
no,
that.
There wasn't a lot there.
There's not much emotional depth to these characters. I feel like there was less emotional depth than the first one. Like I think this.
I think that's probably true. Yeah.
I think this was way worse written the characters than the first one. But they sort of just run away when Jesse Eisenberg asks her to marry him.
Yeah.
And then they meet the blonde girl in the mall. In the mall.
She's hiding in the freezer. Of oh crap. I forget.
I don't know. She's extremely bubbly and doesn't seem to understand the world.
Well, also I think one of the big she's very LA and they find her in Washington DC.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah,
and then
it's a little strange.
Jesse Eisenberg and her sleep together as like a rebound and then, why am I forgetting every actor's name in this? What's her name comes back? She's
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Thank you.
You know,
Christ.
Academy Award winner
yeah,
Emma Stone.
Extremely famous Emma Stone comes back.
Yeah.
And then there's like the conflict of he slept with this girl and then they think she's a zombie and he pretends shoots her in the woods and like he moves on completely. Everybody just sort of moves on, and it felt like, because they didn't show the shot, it was like, oh, she's going to come back, and she was eating the nuts, and her face was swollen, which, yeah. Had. But the whole time, there's people are coming and going constantly, and no one seemed to, like, care that much, and they just sort of had a lot of, like, there's not really jokes so much as there's, like, quirky conversations back and forth.
Pretty much, yeah. It's more the character interactions.
Right. And so the littlest one, Wichita, is that, did I get it right?
Little Rock.
Little Rock. Good God. Good yep. God, Dave.
Jesus Christ.
So she's following this like hippie who's like really stereotypically hippie douche.
Yeah, he's the dude that brings a guitar to a party.
Yeah. And then they have like a romance, and then he brings her to this hippie commune that are burning guns for some reason have survived. And it's all introduced very late in the movie. Like they spend a lot of time they spend way too long just at the White House, it felt like. And then they have like, they meet up with, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. There's a lot of
wheel spinning is my point.
There's a lot of meandering, like that scene where they're, and I get it. It was like, it was supposed to be a running gag where they just couldn't find another car.
Right.
But at the time, it felt weird that they park the minivan on the side of the road, scope out this nice, like, huge camper bus, do a whole action sequence to steal it, and then the tires get busted immediately, and they won't take the clown ice cream chucks. They just go back to the van and leave. So yeah. It's like, okay, what was the point of this detour?
Yeah, and the action scene wasn't all that great, I didn't think. So it was just like, oh, okay. Like, there was a couple cool moments, but they just shot a bunch of zombies, and it felt like they didn't know what to do with the plot. And the commune comes in late, and they're very stereotypical hippies for some reason, and they are complete idiots. And then at the very end, like it felt like in the last 20 minutes, Woody Harrelson sees all the super zombies that they've only really been talking about. Like they,
we've seen a few of them.
Yeah, we've seen a few. They show up, and he has to go back and warn them all, and then they have this like real quick montage of them setting up and training, and it feels like it takes place in like the 10 minutes before the zombies will get there, like and then they use all these, like, they take these fire hoses and these barrels, and they set up this flaming barrier, and all I thought was like, they haven't established this place at all. I don't know the geography of this place. I don't know where they're getting this stuff.
Right, there's a line that says, you know, there's one thing we do have a hell of a lot of, and that's what is it? Not petrol, but biodiesel.
Right.
And I'm like, did they establish we had biodiesel?
Right. And so that's why I wanted to go back and rewrite this movie, because it felt really weird. And you could do all the same beats and do a better movie, which is that when they go to the White House in the beginning, why don't they find like evidence or just find a military shelter or community there? Like, why don't they discover like, oh shit, there's a civilization. Woody Harrelson can kind of like not be into it, can be like, oh, we don't know they're there. And then you make the first act them getting to the shelter and then assimilating into a seemingly normal existence. So you have conflict of like Jesse Eisenberg and Emma Stone, like they're meeting new people, so their relationship is tested, and that's how that goes. Like, yeah. Then you have Woody Harrelson being kind of like, you know, he won't accept the world.
No, he does. He wouldn't. Yeah, his character wouldn't be into that.
Yeah, and there'd be comedy and all of that, and there'd be conflict there. And then Woody Harrelson in Act Two could leave. Jesse Eisenberg could go with him because maybe his relationship fucks up the way it does in this. And they go back out, and it's like almost a reset of the premise. And then they're back out, and that's when they can have a bunch of zombie antics. They can meet new characters, and then they can find out about super zombies. And the idea is that they have to go back and like warn the community. And of course, the B story would be following the community the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then they get back. It's kind of like Brody and Jaws, where they have to convince them or something like that. And then we have the montage of them all getting ready because everybody is used to not being out there fighting anymore. And we would then have the community since Act One have some sort of stakes, care about the side characters, because I don't care about a single side character.
Nope. Well, because most of them die immediately.
Yeah, and they even say it. They make fun of the fact that they're all kind of just going to die. So feels like there's nothing at stake, and the characters are just constantly flying by each other emotionally. I felt like there's so many snap decisions when Little Rock just dumps the hippie guy. It's just like in a second.
We're not given any indication that she's even not liking him.
Yeah, exactly. and like I I like that seems like a way better version of this that doesn't sure. change any of the things in it. Like, and that was my issue with the movie mostly, is that like, I think the premise and setting and characters are great, but it was just like the actual beat by beat moments were, I don't know, the script felt rushed.
Which is weird for a sequel that came out 10 years mm-hmm. after the original.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe they had to rush it in between like Deadpools.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the thing. These aren't untalented people making this.
Mm-mm.
It's the Deadpool people. And the Zombieland 1 people.
And the Zombieland 1 people, yeah. yeah.
And Zombieland 1, it wasn't my favorite movie, but it was fine. Like, I liked it.
Yeah.
This movie, like, I would say is nowhere near as good as the first Zombieland. I don't
no,
know.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. So, but, yeah, I see your criticisms, and I recognize them as valid.
Yeah.
I still was perfectly fine with the movie that we did get. Yeah, but I recognize that it is pretty meandering. It's like, and then the scene where they introduce Luke Wilson and Thomas Middleditch felt very strange.
Right, and that's, again, as we talked about in Hypecast, that's just a bit from Shaun of the Dead, but drawn out.
Yeah, slightly longer. And then it's like, it's these two guys that have been, I don't know, you could have got something out of that, because they I thought it was funny that they show that, like, their relationship is, like, better than Eisenberg and Harrelson's.
Right, yeah.
Because Luke Wilson's, like, complimenting him and telling him he did a good job, and he lets him wear his cowboy hat after they fight a bunch of zombies.
Yeah.
So it's more, he's much more like a supporting dad as right. opposed to Harrelson. So, but they don't really do much with that afterwards.
Yeah, they don't, like,
they do one gag where Eisenberg asks, "Can I wear your hat?" He's like, "No, that's not going to happen."
Right.
But it felt strange that, like, they, okay, I understand that you don't necessarily want to have that gag go through the whole movie because it is just the Shaun of the Dead gag.
Right.
And you really only need the few seconds that you get in Shaun of the Dead for that gag to land. But it did seem strange that it was like these two veterans of, like, Zombieland get bitten immediately.
Yeah. I get the joke.
Going out to fight. I get the joke, yeah.
And that sequence was pretty cool, the one-er, but it was a fake one-er, and,
yeah,
you know.
It still kept the rhythm of it, which was neat.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite moment. But it was something that, you know, it's like, yeah, I saw Kingsman as well, and I don't know. At that point, the movie had just lost me.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
But that is, that whole stop there with Rosario Dawson, like, I liked her character, but it felt like they were just like, we need to give Woody Harrelson a romantic interest. That was another 90s thing, the Elvis obsession. That feels like something we did in the 90s a lot. Like, this movie feels like it was written in the 90s.
Yeah, it's pretty dated.
Yeah. The hippie stuff really, like, if you're going to make fun of, like, West Coast liberals, that's fine. Maybe, like, look at what college kids are. Like, it didn't feel they were doing, like, drum circles and hacky sack. And it was like, do people do hacky sack now? Is that still a thing? Are kids watching this and are going to even know what hacky sack is?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's an excellent question.
It really felt like it was written a long time ago. Maybe yeah. It was written right after the first one and they never went back and updated it.
Oh, they clearly updated it a little bit.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Man. This is my other problem with this movie, is I didn't find it. I don't know. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's the movie has good intentions, I would say. It's not a mean-spirited movie.
No, even though as you said, like, it's hippies are pretty stereotypical, and Zoe Deutsch's character is a dumb blonde, but it's like, it never felt cruel. when it was when it was doing this. It was just like, oh, this is kind of a dated joke.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was just like, oh, she's a dumb blonde. I thought like, oh, are they at least gonna? Is the reveal gonna be she's like amazing at killing zombies, or is the reveal gonna be that this she has this, or she's a scam artist or something? And it was like, no, I guess the joke is just that she's dumb, and she doesn't understand
she's
things.
Super dumb. Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't have object permanence.
Yeah. Like she's it's real. It's real. Again, you're right. That character, that actress, was doing a great job.
Yeah,
it's not
man,
her fault. It's the character.
She kills that performance. Yeah,
was terribly written.
Yeah, but I still thought like it. The character didn't irritate me like like you might be afraid that it would because she just fucking dives into it and is like, all right, I'm gonna act the shit out of this.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just there's no emotional connection to any of the new characters or even the current characters. Like all my goodwill for them existed from the first one. Whereas this one, there wasn't any expansion of their characters. And I don't think any of that would be a problem if I found it funny, you know, because plenty of, I mean, comedies should be better storytelling wise, you know, a comedy shouldn't lean on comedy. That's how the Judd Apatow films, that's why we suddenly stopped caring about those, because
we abruptly stopped caring about
those. Because those films are only as good as the jokes, and jokes get dated, and so once the jokes get old, you're like, eh, you know, like now I'm seeing all the problems with this. And so, like, I don't think a comedy necessarily has to have amazing. We were talking about this with Abe the other night. Like, Cookie Cutter is okay. If that vessel is serving something that is interesting, but I just, man, I didn't laugh.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Man, this might be a tough episode.
Yeah. that's the thing is like this. I don't think I should like, I don't need to spend 40 minutes talking about why I hated this movie any more than anybody should spend 40 minutes talking about why they liked it, because it's fine, I guess. That's the thing. I would have walked out of this movie probably while watching it if I didn't have to watch it for this.
You make that threat a lot. How often did you walk out of films before we started doing this podcast?
Tom, I used to work at a movie theater, so the stakes were low.
That's true.
Yeah, so I could walk out because I was like, it's a free movie. If it weren't for, and I think the older I get, the less tolerance I have for bad movies or movies I don't like, because all I thought about this whole time was like, there's like four movies I'd rather be watching. I want to see this stupid Jay and Silent Bob reboot, you know? Which I don't know where that's playing. That must be playing somewhere.
Might be on streaming.
No, it's in theaters.
We're spending a lot of this podcast talking about other movies that are out.
I spent a lot of watching this movie thinking about other movies because I didn't want to hate on it. I just wanted to not watch it. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to not watch it and go on Twitter and maybe say, I didn't think Zombieland was funny, and then forget about the movie, because that's really what it came down to.
I didn't want to hate it. I just didn't want to be in the same room as it.
Well, no, that was the thing. And that's why I spent time like, okay, I guess I should sit here and do something. And now I'm going to try to rewrite the movie as I watch it and think of a better way for them to do it. And having to think of reasons why it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone out there watched this and loved this movie, like, fucking good on you. It's not worth talking about that much is the problem. It's fine, I guess. I just wouldn't have watched it.
That's fair.
Yeah. Rosario Dawson was good.
No, everybody was fine.
Yeah. The effects
I enjoyed
fine.
Everybody. Yeah.
It just didn't add anything also. Like, it still did the rules, it did the zombie kill of the year thing. It felt like it had nothing to say. in terms of, we're making a Zombieland 2, what do we do with it? It was just, meh. It was just like, remember the stuff from the first one? Remember these guys? Like, you know? And, like, the stakes weren't any higher than the first one. And it felt like they had, like, kind of blew, like, they shot their wad at, like, how do we, what are creative things to do? Like, the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Hay Baler, that was cool, but, like, you know, the first film ended at a goddamn amusement park.
Yeah.
And that was great. And they had the arc of the zombie clown and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And being on a roller coaster. This one felt like they didn't quite
They were on a Ferris
know.
Wheel, I think.
Were they on a Ferris wheel? I thought that was a roller coaster in play.
I think they were on a Ferris wheel. There may have been a roller coaster in play. I can't remember now. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah. Even the credits were like the same, but not as good. It was just, I don't know.
They played another Metallica song.
Yeah, they did. And they did the thing
Master
with the
Puppets.
Yeah, it just felt so phoned in.
I don't know that it felt phoned in, because the movie looks good and all the performances are good. But
again,
yeah, like,
the writing felt phoned in for me.
It seemed like they paid as little attention to the writing as they could.
Right. And it felt like they were leaning on improv, and that didn't quite work when they're in the car and there's a montage.
Oh, no, I liked those bits.
I mean, the improv was probably the strongest, but what was the bit? Portishead? Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Portishead?
Yeah. Again, there's some fun back and forths, you know?
Yeah.
There's some quirky shit back and forth, but nothing like maybe a chuckle. And even, again, the audience, there was a couple, like, everybody kind of chuckled. Like you were watching, the speech of a first man at a wedding. Like, it was that.
Best man.
I said first man.
First man? What the hell are you talking
about? I was thinking about the movie.
It's dated. It feels very dated.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels really... By the way, I didn't even watch the Bill Murray thing. I had to pee, and like nothing in the movie had entertained me. And they started walking out, and then the credits did the, oh, here's Bill Murray. And I was like, that's cool. I'll watch it on YouTube later. And I left. Was that any good? Was Dan Aykroyd in that?
He was not. No, I don't know what the hell that Google alert I got was talking about.
That's weird. Tom got a Google alert, you guys.
I do. For some reason, Google notifies me when, like, hey, this actor is in a movie this weekend. I don't know why. I haven't set it up to do that. But I got an alert that was like, see Dan Aykroyd's new film, Zombieland 2. I'm like, fucking Dan Aykroyd is in it?
Yeah. What was it? Was it any... Describe the scene to me.
It's a flashback to day zero of the Zombieland apocalypse. And it's Bill Murray doing a press junket for Garfield 3.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty clear that it's purely improv.
So it's probably the best part of the movie. I missed.
It was pretty great. And then Al Roker turns into a zombie in the middle of asking Bill Murray a question, so he kills him with a chair. And then it's just like another 2 or 3 minutes of Bill Murray just kind of like just walking through this convention center wherever he's at, just kind of sort of lazily killing zombies. It's pretty
great.
That
sounds great.
It was pretty great.
Yeah, that sounds like the best part of the movie.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's just hitting a lot of zombies with chairs.
Which is why I would have opened with it. That would have been my opening credits. Bill Murray walking through killing zombies to that Metallica song.
Mm-hmm. They were playing the Caddyshack song while he was doing it.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
It was just pretty good.
Yeah. This movie's doing very well.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's doing second best movie, which makes sense considering that I think Jojo Rabbit's still in limited theaters. And so, like, what are you gonna fucking see, you know? Joker again?
Please don't.
Yeah, it was still better than Joker, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's no disputing that.
Yeah, my recommendations for people is if Jojo Rabbit, Parasite, or Jay and Silent Bob, I guess, if you're a fan of that, or fucking Lighthouse, is playing near you, probably just go see one of those. I haven't seen any of them. But my recommendation is maybe check one of those out. And if not that, you could look, if you want a horror, Wounds on Hulu, which again, I haven't seen, but these all seem like better endeavors. But if you're like with a group of friends or you're on a date, like, again, people were bringing their kids to this. It was like, not,
that's weird,
not young kids, like teenagers.
Well, that makes sense.
Like, well, I would say tweens. I wasn't like leering at the kids to figure out their age, so I'm not entirely sure. I just know there were short people, and they didn't seem like they were accompanied by adults, you know? So, like, mm-hmm. they weren't, like, little, but they were little enough to be accompanied by adults.
Right, little enough they couldn't buy their own ticket to this film?
Yeah, yeah. So, and it makes sense. Like, zombies are kind of quaint now.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because it's just people. It's just mm-hmm. people shooting other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember in the beginning credits, like, seeing the other younger people in the audience being like, do they understand what this is? Because out of context, if we, you know, it just looks like they're shooting a bunch of homeless people.
Well, I mean, they're pretty clearly monsters.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, whatever. It's a genre that's been around forever.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Go watch Shaun of the Dead.
Sure.
We still got time, I mean, Tom, to talk about
do
this
we?
Movie.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm wrapping up.
What should we
up.
Talk about? what should we talk
I
about?
I don't know. How was your day?
Yes, you know, it was a day.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
How was your day?
It was all right. I saw Zombieland 2, and I was kind of bored.
Huh?
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm sorry if people liked this movie. I just...
Oh, I liked this movie.
Yeah.
But I understand why you didn't. It's very... It seems... It's not as... It's not edgy anymore. It's not like... Or like... It's not what the first one was, and that's due in part to the past 10 years being so full of zombie shit
yeah.
that it's just like, all right, like this is, it's not the first zombie comedy. It's not even the fifth zombie comedy
right.
at this point.
Yeah.
So it's a crowded genre. It feels dated, but this franchise has the benefit of having a core cast of very good and charismatic,
very talented
actors.
Yeah.
Having fun exchanges with each other. Like, they're clearly having fun making this movie.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. It's because as long as the movie's not like mean spirited, and it totally isn't. So
yeah, not that I can think of. But see, here's the thing: is I did find the characters mean spirited. When what's her name, the ditzy blonde, dies, they don't care.
Well, they
make like jokes.
He keeps pointing out to them that they're being mean.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the problem. It felt like here's what it is. I think I figured out what my problem was with that aspect of the film. Is that mm-hmm. in the first movie we were watching a group of people who had just met each other. So they were
yes.
treating each other callously because don't get
yeah.
attached. This is them 10 years later and they still feel that calloused. And that was that was what bugged me. Is that they didn't seem to care that much when they left at the beginning.
Right. Like, that should have been devastating for them both.
Yeah.
And I think that was a weird... Like, I think maybe Abigail Breslin should have just left on her own. Because that would have made more sense.
Yeah, and then they all could have went to
like,
find her.
Exactly. Because, like, it doesn't... Like, for Emma Stone to just fucking leave...
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you've been here for 10 years
yeah.
and you're just going to leave in the middle of the night because Jesse Eisenberg made a weird proposal. Granted, I would also flee the state if Jesse Eisenberg
oh, sure.
made a weird proposal
sure.
to me.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't make sense for
yeah.
her to do that. But I believed that Little Rock would run off with the first guy her age she found
right.
because she hasn't been able to have that experience.
Right, they made Emma Stone out to be like some crazy emotional broad who's like gonna book it. Like, that was the thing. It's extremely irresponsible to just leave after 10 years with somebody.
Yeah, and then
leaving a shitty note and stealing the car.
Yeah. And then she just came immediately back. So it's like,
yeah. So it's like, what
the fuck? Pretty clear. It's pretty clear that they wanted to create a way to have there be like a love triangle or some conflict in that relationship, and they couldn't think of one. So they're just like, well, let's just have her leave
right.
for a month.
Which is why I think the idea, it would have been great to do like first 10 minutes, like it's Zombieland, like it was before, and then them having to assimilate into a society again. And that's the main conflict that shakes their relationship and stuff like that. Like, I think that would have been the way easier way of doing it than Jesse Eisenberg proposes, so she just abandons him overnight.
Or something happens and they think she's dead.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like there was a lot of different ways to do this, and it had a very much like an and then feel.
Yeah, it's basically a series of bits.
Yeah, where nothing's like set up and they don't spend enough time with any of the new characters for you to care. So it just...
Well, it's basically a road movie, except the destination changes at midway through.
Yeah.
Like, their first destination is Graceland, which would have been hilarious, but they get to Graceland and it's all broken down.
Right.
So then... We don't find out about the commune until like the end of Act Two, almost.
Yeah, it's way too late.
And so that's like, so it's like Vacation with zombies. If in Vacation they didn't know they were going to Wally World until an hour in.
Yeah, yeah. There's just no goal. Yeah, it's just
we got to find Little Rock. It's just that's the goal, which is a fine goal. It's just it felt rushed.
It felt like half-assed.
Yeah, felt rushed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like we're sitting here coming up with ways this could have worked better that I don't change much. That's the thing.
Not really.
It's not like, oh, you have to... like. And that's why I was saying like the broad strokes are there. It just the execution mm-hmm. was
Yeah, the bones are all there. Like, you have all of the elements here, and the elements on their own are good enough that I still enjoyed this movie, even though they didn't come together the best way that they could have.
They knew they had to, like, set things up and pay them off, but they were the wrong things. Like, Woody Harrelson's Native American ancestry playing into killing the zombies at the end was, like...
I liked that. I liked the van gag, although, like I said, at first, I didn't realize that it was at the beginning of a gag.
Right, you know...
But it became funny that he couldn't get rid of that van.
But you know what would have been a good answer to the van gag? Is that
at
the end, he uses the van to do something heroic.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Like, the van gag ends with him just... They just... So, and then now the van's gone, and they blow it up. And that was pretty funny. Like, that's a fun little moment. But, nothing ever... feels like it has a punchline.
Right. And then even then, after he blows up the van, they go in the commune, and then he decides he's going to leave. It just cuts to him driving a pickup truck. It's like, well, where did you get that
truck? Yeah, that was...
Like,
yeah,
you just found a new... You had a whole gag about not being able to find another car, and then we just cut to him already driving another car.
Right.
It was weird.
It would have been that would have been a good payoff, too, as he leaves and walks outside and realizes, oh, I have the van. That's it. And it's him back in the van, and that's his lowest point. Still with the van.
Mm-hmm. And he has to ramp the van in there to help save the day. Yeah.
Although I
do like Rosario Dawson showing up with the monster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that had to pay off. But like, we just wrote a better arc for that joke for the van stuff.
Yeah.
And it didn't take very long.
No.
And that's why I'm like, that's what's so weird about this movie is that it wouldn't have been hard for them to kind of adjust it. They just didn't seem to bother. I don't know. I don't know what happened here with the jokes.
I don't know. They feel pretty... They're pretty lame.
Yeah.
They're pretty tame.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's toothless. It's kind of toothless.
Yeah, it is.
Although I did laugh when... when she says, you need to find a new catchphrase, and he says, let's kick some dicks.
Oh yeah, he had one other, I wish I remembered. He had one other phrase that I really liked. It had to do with butts.
I don't know. I mean, I chuckled at a few of his lines. That was, yeah. I really did like the let's kick some dicks.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he had some good catchphrases.
And then she walks. She's like, just because it rhymed doesn't make it good, and kind of walks off. And then Eisenberg is like, well, I don't know. I like it when they rhyme.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Eisenberg was all right in this. I don't know.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. I never saw, what was that other one he did? The Art of Self-Defense. I still need to.
Oh, got to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel
it's like, probably on streaming.
I feel like that's a really good one also to see instead of this, because I bet that's really dark. That looked really dark.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Again, we're talking about other movies.
Yeah, well, I have such a long list.
Man. Yeah, 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 kind of do.
Yeah, this would have been, I think this would have been a good movie for me to watch if it was a year from now on Netflix and I was like, hey, I haven't watched that yet. And I would have watched it and probably not have mentioned it to anybody. I probably
never disclosed that information.
Well, not out of shame. I just would have probably forgotten they had watched it and gone on with my life.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. This is all fair.
Yeah. And even I mean, it seems like you would agree with me, even though you liked it more than me, it's not worth talking about for 40 minutes.
No, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, listening.
That's it.
This movie
we did
was,
our best.
I think we can all agree, if you're listening to this and you liked the movie, it's still not worth talking about for 40 minutes.
It's hard to find things to talk about, yeah, with this one.
It just didn't do it for me. I think that's my final recommendation is, I don't know, wait for streaming. If you're really into Zombieland, go see it, obviously. But prepare to not like it as much as the first. I think that's a safe bet, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Like, I think it's Zombieland, and then one of them little greater than symbols, and then Zombieland 2.
Right, it's a little alligator eating Zombieland and turning his ass towards Zombieland 2.
Exactly. I always think of it as Pac-Man, but yeah, the alligator is a good... He eats the bigger one because it's nummier. It's tastier. You want to eat the better thing. If you're gonna choose between eating two things, you want the one that'll give you the most strength. By eating
the most nourishment,
or the most the most spiritual strength. Like if someone presented to me a chicken or an eagle. Both dead already. They've been dead already. I don't have to do anything, guys. Don't get upset. I would eat the eagle because the eagle has more... It's more patriotic. It has more spiritual strength. And you don't get to eat an eagle that often.
Yeah, how often do you get to eat an eagle? Like, never.
Yeah, it might be less meat, but it's more spiritual nourishment. I think that checks out, right?
I think so, yeah. It's more nourishing for your soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
It fills up your soul stomach.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows about the soul stomach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a...
soul gut.
Yeah, that's science. They teach that in schools. So, yeah. I guess thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, I think let's be done.
Okay. Okay, well, let me tell you a few things.
Yeah, do that. Do
we
that.
We have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm-hmm. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a tier
Accurate.
Where you can watch movies with us. This week we watched Doom Annihilation, The Craft, Sleepy Ooh. Hollow.
It was a
hell of a night. Also, I guess quick announcement, in November we're going to take 2 weeks off at the beginning of the month, kind of for Thanksgiving. For you patrons out there, not much is going to change. I think this exclusive podcast will probably still be running. But for all you non-Patreon subscribers who listen to us on whatever you fucking listen to us on, don't be surprised if we vanish for like 2 weeks. We might bank some episodes. I don't know. Point is that we're very tired and we're going to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah, we haven't taken a break in almost 2 years.
Yep.
So
Our bones hurt.
My bones are very tired. Yeah. There's a character in the new season of Big Mouth that just says my bones hurt, and I'm like, I'm right there with you, man.
I agree. I feel for you.
My skeleton aches.
Yep. Every day.
Every day I'm alive. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's just a haze of pain.
Existence is pain.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefully unemployed. You can get shirts and stickers and all kinds of bullshit. We're adding some more stuff. I know I say that every week.
Because it's
but
true.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
All right. I think that's enough.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever the hell made you make that noise.